As we become aware of a fresh new vision that God is calling us to, Pastor Tim challenges us as he continues his Pray and Then Go series to hear from God and to answer his call. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you will be challenged and you'll respond.
Well, let me say this. What does the word sacrifice mean to an American, a Christian? What does the word sacrifice really mean to us? Let me ask you this question. When have we sacrificed anything, not necessarily just for the Lord, but in general, that we have sacrificed anything? The answer is, I would say for the most part, I would guarantee would be very seldom. Or any at all, maybe. Really never. What would happen to our lives if we really understood the meaning of sacrifice? Now, we often give up. We often give up the things for Lent, which is fine, that we start getting, and that's a beautiful other thing to do. Nothing wrong with it at all. Please do. But do we really sacrifice anything of importance to do something that may seem of less importance? Do we really sacrifice anything of importance that so that we can do something of less importance that it seems? We may sacrifice the Georgia game to go help a friend out, which is very difficult for a lot of us. You know, I don't care either way. When the Georgia plays, I want them to win, but when they lose, it's always funny to me to watch everybody's expression on Sunday morning. It's just kind of funny to me. You know, but we're sacrificing these things, and we think that we've done something wonderful and great. We think we've done something wonderful and great. We say things like, I deserve that day because I have worked so hard. When was the last time that we really sacrificed anything for our spouse or our kids? You say, well, I get them everywhere they need to go. I get them to every ball game. I get them to every dance recital. I get them here and there and yonder. You know, I sacrifice a lot. We often look at our lives because we're doing some of those type things that we have sacrificed something. Paul in Romans has something to say about sacrifice, and I want us to go there, and I want us to take a look at this and see what God is saying to us today. Our theme this year is, I pray and then go. In other words, the prayer closet time, the times in our prayer closet times is a time that God can really speak to us and really do something in our heart, in our mind. You know, just remember, our experiences of life, we gain wisdom from those things. We gain knowledge from those things, the experiences that we have, but we find strength in the prayer closet. We find strength with the Lord when we're alone with him, as Jesus would go up to the mountainside. Why would he do that? Because he was tired. He needed to rest. He rests in the arms of his Father, and he would pray in the arms of his Father. So Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want you to stand with me. Some familiar scripture. If you've been a Christian very long, many years, you know the scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some of my favorite scripture of the whole Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, which means whatever I've written before, we're going therefore now. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, listen, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Listen, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, that's a great scripture. It's beautiful. Amen. You be seated. It's a wonderful scripture today. I appeal to you, or I beseech you, if you have the King James Version, would say, I beseech you, therefore, a brethren. I urge you, I appeal to you. In other words, I want to appeal to your thinking. I want to appeal to your understanding. I want you to hear this. I want you to know something about basically Paul was saying, that Paul was entering into a practical ways of working out your theology. In other words, he said, I've talked about so many different things about justification, about that you can actually lord over sin, that sin does not have to dwell within a believer. And we come down to this, and it says, I appeal to you, I beseech you. I want you to listen to this, in other words. Ways that we can live out our theology, the ways that we're able to live life under the umbrella of Jesus Christ working through us and in us. It's only by the mercies of God that we're able to live a life that God has called us to. Over in Titus, it says we are saved by just the mere mercy of God, that he shines down upon us, that he sent his son to die for us, and he rose again on the third day, that we can have life, have it more abundantly. And so Paul comes down to this moment here. He says to present, to offer ourselves at one's disposal, or to lay ourselves down. It's almost like when Janeray one day gets married. One day she will. It's going to be a bad day for her fiance. It's a bad day. I walked into a room this week and she was on the phone, studying with a guy on the phone. I said, "Who's that?" It caught him off guard. I want them to understand. And she's going to say, "Daddy, why are you doing this?" He said, "Just a friend." Caught him off guard. I said, "What's your name, boy?" Silence on the other end. It's just like giving her away to present her one day to her husband. It says a living sacrifice, something that is not a dead. You know, a sacrifice is usually dead. When it's dead, it can't get off the altar. But for us as living, breathing believers in Christ, a living sacrifice is something that can get off the altar. It's something that God wants us to go and to do, a living sacrifice to set us apart for something that God desires within us. Only by his mercy are we able to present ourselves, only by his mercy, to always sacrifice to be used in worship. Now, we were created to worship the Lord. We were created, you know, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we were created because God wanted a man and a woman to worship him, to walk in the cool of the day with him, be able to have communication and have that beautiful, sacred relationship together. But sin entered into the world and broke that. But he's calling us to this spiritual worship, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, be set apart for a work. Our lives, which is being restored to the image of Christ, only a pure sacrifice can be offered. Here's the thing about worship. It's amazing. It's when the song ends on Sunday or Wednesday night, we think worship is over. The issue for most Christians is when the song ends. We had some good worship in song, right? Say amen. It's good, really, really. I mean, just, whoo, I was clapping, praising God. It was wonderful. It was good. I think I raised both hands once. I'm a one-hand worshiper, you know what I'm saying? Every now and when it's really good, I'll just, whoo. It was really good. I might throw one leg out. You know what I'm saying? And it was really good. But the problem with most of us, when the song ends, we think worship is over. That has been completed. We leave on Sunday mornings, we pat ourselves on the back and saying, "Wow, we had great worship today." And we did. Had a wonderful worship today. Woo, it was good. I felt the presence of God. Everything was great. Listen to me. It's to take our bodies what God is doing within us. He says worship is just not confined to four walls. He says worship, which is our spiritual duty, is we can worship when we walk out the door at home. Or we can worship the Lord when we walk into our home. It's that we can worship the Lord when we go to the chalk mine or to the factory or the grocery store or to the bank teller. It's we can worship, it's an act of worship when we go to GMC or Georgia College or at school in a cafeteria. That is worship. It means that we continue to do good. This is well and pleasing to the Lord is when we come to the place as a believer. Is that worship is not confined to four walls within a building, but worship is how we live our lives unto Him. True worship is how we live our lives unto Him. Him working through us by His by the mercy that He gives, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And I would gander to say is that many of us have not even given thought to that. Is that we go to church and we get our worship on. So what has to happen? It says here in God's word, it says, do not be conformed to this world. This is a passive verb in the Greek that means something is acting on this word conform. It means, in other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. In other words, don't be conformed to this world. Here's the problem for most Christians. Again, when a song ends, I'm done. But you don't realize what's happening when you leave here is that we are allowing the world to squeeze us, to mold us into the way the world thinks, the way people that don't even know the Lord live and act. And we begin to allow that to squeeze in on us and mold us into what the world says we should be. That's where I think we get in a church now. We got to change so many things to be more like the world, to hope that they will come in and see us. You know, that the world is having such an oppression on the leaders of the church in America that we got to change this or wear this or don't do that or to do this. That is squeezing us into its mold. And God is saying, no, this is not the way. We are the followers of Jesus Christ. There's something different within us. In other words, one writer says, don't try to match your life to all the fashions of this world. Don't be like a chameleon, which takes color from its surroundings. We need to hear this today. I need to hear this today. Don't be like a chameleon that it takes its color from its surroundings. It's something that we're doing. It's something that we're allowing the world to mold us into what we are to be. You know, I'd have this thought at times is when we watch certain things and we watch certain things on TV or we listen to certain type of music and stuff, it has this effect on us that it begins to mold us and shape our thinking. It really shapes who we are. You know, I have a thing that we are a product of our raising a lot of times. And one of the things in counseling that we always have to go through is try to draw that out and say, yes, you are a product of your raising, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. And my question to us today is, are we the ones allowing the world to conform us, to act on us, to be a certain way? To be a certain way. Paul was saying here, I've talked to you about living above sin. I've talked to you about so many things. And we come to this part here. It says, there's a new life in Christ. There's something new here. Old things are passed away and everything is new. In other words, he says, and I don't know if he's really getting on to them. I just think he's writing this theology. I don't know if it's necessary. He's pointing his finger at them that you're not doing these things, but I'm going to point a finger at me first, and I'll point a finger at you. He says, we got to understand this. We're new creatures in Christ. We really are. We're new creatures in Christ, and we're allowing this world to conform to us. We have we have issues in our life that we can just very clearly see. One of them is, here's a conforming thing. I'm just falling out of love with my wife. I'm just falling out of love with my husband. No, you're not. You're choosing to. See how subtle it is? You're saying, well, Tim, I don't believe that. But yes, you do. Many times I hear people say, well, I just fell out of love with my husband. No, you didn't. You made conscious decisions to stop loving. It conforms us, and we don't really realize it at times. Now, the old illustration, you can put a frog in some water and turn the heat up a little bit, little by little by little. Some of you probably know this, but some of you don't even know this. Little by little by little by little, and that frog will never jump out of that water, and it will boil. itself to death. That's the way the enemy is conforming us, little by little, little by little, little by little. That's the way the world is conforming us. It's conforming us because we have to have the American dream and live these comfortable lives. The Lord's really been dealing with me about uncomfortable and comfortable. I've been watching sermons online from different folks about being comfortable and uncomfortable. And what does that really mean in our lives? Is we have bought into the thing that once we become Christians, that everything's supposed to be hunky, glory, yes. It is that, it's that we feel like, whoo, everything's good. And that the Lord is going to bless me financially. The Lord's going to bless me with stuff. I'm going to live this comfortable life. And for many of us, that we, once again, I'll say it again, I want to get through my head and yours, is that we equate the blessings with stuff. Once again, the world has conformed us to think that, because many times in our language as Christians, we say what? The Lord has blessed me with a new house. The Lord has blessed me with a new car. The Lord has blessed me with financial peace. The Lord has blessed me with a lot of friends. The Lord has blessed me with this. The Lord's blessed. And it's always something tangible. It's always something tangible. That's the way the world has conformed us as a believer. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. There's nothing wrong to have a new house. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. Then say to Tim, then how do you say it? I said, you're fortunate enough to know God's way. And as you made a decision to fall out of love with your spouse, you made the right decisions to put where you are because it was based on what God wanted you to do. Does that make sense? Because the person down the street don't have a new house, and they're just as faithful as you are. They're not blessed in our thinking. That means they're not blessed. Or I say, the Lord blessed me. He healed me. Well, this person died of cancer. That means they weren't blessed. See what I'm saying? How the world has conformed us in our thinking? And when in reality, blessing is always equated with the presence of God and being right with Him and being upstanding with Him. Something has to change within us. Something has to happen within us. Something, if we are being conformed, and it's a constant battle, it's a constant, the enemy is trying its best. Just as back in the Old Testament when Moses was on the mountain and his people were down in the valley and the Ten Commandments were be written on the stones and his protege, I'm going to call him Sam because I never can say his name. They said, you need to make us a god. So he said, give me all of your gold and your silver, everything you got. They gave him all. And it says he fashioned that goat. He fashioned. It was a calf, wasn't it? Not a goat. It was a calf. He fashioned that calf. That was a goat calf. I don't know where a goat came from. He fashioned it with a tool and made it exactly what he wanted. And when Moses came off the mountain, and this is how we are as Christians this day and time, when Moses came off the mountain, he confronted Sam and said, what is going on? Sam said, I don't know. They just gave me a bunch of gold. I threw it in the fire and out jumped this cow. That's in the Word. That's the way we act this day and time as Christians. We have been conformed to say, I don't know why I struggle. I don't know. You know, I'm doing the best I can do. Because we're allowing the world to conform us. We're allowing this present age to conform us. But praise God, we don't have to live in that conformity. That is a hallelujah. That we don't have to live in that conformity. Because Paul doesn't leave us there. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Listen, it's a beautiful word in the Greek. It's where we get our word for metamorphosis. It's a beautiful word in the Greek. Listen to this. One author said this. What Paul urges is not merely a change of appearance and behavior, but a change of essence. This is not a matter of acting a part, but of being completely different. The indwelling Spirit of Christ is God's agent in affecting the inside-out transformation, reproducing Jesus in the lives of committed Christians. What matters is what agent. In other words, you're saying, what are you talking about? The agent for conform is the world. But the agent of transformation is Jesus Christ himself. In other words, being conformed is something that is self-centered. Something that we do by ourselves, being conformed. You say, no, I was with a group of people. Listen to me. Sin is singular, but affects everyone around us. Affects everyone around us. I can bring every single one up to you and say, when you've sinned, how did it affect others? It's a self-centeredness. Being conformed to this world is a self-centeredness, but God is calling us out of that. He's calling us into something so much greater than ourselves. He's calling us into something that is almost a mind a blowing when we really give thought to it. Is he wants to transform us into something beautiful. He wants to transform that metamorphosis. It's not something that we just see an outward change, but it's something that we see on the change on the inside that works its way out into something beautiful that God wants us to be. It's that transformation within us that happens. And it only comes not in a singular way, but it comes within the church body around us. That transformation comes. It's always in a community of believers that transformation comes. You say, the reason you struggle, I'm telling you right now the reason. One reason that you struggle is you're not engaged within the church body. You will continue to struggle being conformed to this world until you really honestly come to the place and say, I cannot do this by myself. You will continue to do what the world wants you to do and Satan wants you to do of the world. And that's constant conforming. The agent is different. This is Jesus Christ himself through his Holy Spirit that is moving us into something, into his likeness, into his image. You know why we treat people the way we do? It's according if we're being conformed or transformed. Why do we treat our wives and our husbands the way we do? It's either we're conformed or we're being transformed. Why do we treat our children the way we do? It's either we're being conformed or being transformed. Why do we treat our boss at work that we don't like and we battle against it because we're being conformed or transformed? I tell people all the time, yes, you might have issues at work. It might not be a great place to work. Just the environment is bad and not good. And I've said this 100,000 times. Transforming people, Christians will go, when they get up, praise God, I get to go be a shining light today. Instead of, oh, Lord. And kick the dirt going in. Here I go again. It's going to be a bad day because I know they're going to do things and get on me. But a transformation that's happened within us says, Lord, it's hard to work here. I'm not making a lot of it at all. It's a struggle, Lord. But a true transformation that has happened is, Lord, it's a struggle. But praise God, you're greater greater is you that is in me than he that is in the world. Transformation begins to happen. It's something that the Lord comes in and he changes us from the inside out. What matters is who the agent is. It's what matters. Paul said early in Romans, he says, if grace abounds, if sin abounds, then grace abounds. So then, therefore, do we keep on sinning And really, Paul really gets down pretty almost nasty in the Greek. God forbid that we continue in sin. God forbid that we continue to be conformed. God forbid that we continually deal with sin all the time. I believe in the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ through this Holy Spirit that set us apart to continue to make us holy and righteous, that we can live above sin. You say, Tim, are you saying that we can be sinless? What I'm saying is this. Whenever we ask that question, do you mean we can be sinless? It's that we're not really taking serious on what the Word is saying. It's almost like we give ourselves an out. Well, I don't know. I'm giving myself out. Of course, once again, we're in the flesh. Of course, there's going to be times that we made a conscious decision to fall out of love with our spouse. We make conscious decisions about sin. But we got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may discern what is the will of God. And there's been many times in my life we've often said, what is God's will for my life? What is His will? The reason we don't know His will because we're being conformed to this world. We don't know Him. And it says here, if we're being transformed, it's a work within us that transforms us to know Him, and He knows us. In other words, if we still allow the world to give us a blueprint on us. So the Greek word to conform means is that that's where we get our word, a schematics from that word. You go in the building, it says, show me the schematics of the building. If we're still allowed the world to write our schematics, we will always struggle. We will never be what God wants us to be, and something that He takes that is ugly and makes something that is beautiful out of us. If we don't allow Him to come in and transform us, we'll never know the true will of God until our heart is truly changed. Truly changed. You want to dabble in sin? It's going to get you. It's going to take you places that you thought you would never go. But the Lord offers another way. He offers another way. What is good and acceptable and perfect will of God is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does that look like? I can tell you now, it doesn't look like an American dream. I can tell you that right now. It's great to have stuff, and I get wrong, I'm not preaching against rich folks or nothing. Don't get all scared. But that's not what it looks like. It doesn't look like, man, life is this comfortable. I don't think it looks like that either. What I think it looks like is that when transformation happens and God is moving within us, there's going to be moments that He calls us to foster. And every couple says, "Woo, pray for me. I see the difference." It moves us out of a lifestyle into something that we have to rely on Him. It moves us from that area that we have made some great decisions. That's wonderful. Continue to make those great decisions to a place. When Heidi and I were in China, our first stop, I'll finish with this. Our first stop went into this house church, and basically a lot of them were house churches, and then the lady of the house was a sweet lady. You know, they got us in, we greet and thank them, and it's a wonderful time. I walked around and went into another room, and there was the kids in another room, and they were like doing a little VBS, and I was watching them sing the songs, and I knew some of the songs just by the tune. you know. And so we went into our service partner, a little living room area, sitting there, and Heidi and I laugh now. While we're doing that, the chicken walked between my legs, you know. I was like, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. That chicken was walking around. All of a sudden, this lady just without even, we were singing, she just went, boop, threw that chicken out the door. I'm like, where'd that come from? You know what I'm saying? And we had just a great time together. And it was just this picture I'm about to paint for you is like, this is what I want to be. We were getting in our cars and stuff, and it's their culture to make sure they take care of their guests. It's their culture to feed us, and it's their culture to really give us things. And really, it's like, well, you're a guest in my house. You are people of God, especially when people of God comes, you know, especially when we come from America, they really want to bless us, really, with God's presence and give us things. And this first church, they didn't really do anything. They gave us some bottled water and stuff. We were about to leave, and the lady of the house, a humble lady, this to me is a picture of what Paul was getting at. She walked up to us. Out of her pocket, she handed us money. My translator, I'll call her Cindy because of the stuff going on over there. I'm going to call her by name. Was translating for us, and she said basically, this is all I got, but I want you to have it. It's all I got. And of course, we thank you. I mean, it's just always, you bow, thank you, thank you. You know, and Cindy is translating for me, thank you. Because she comes to me and says, thank you. I just like, and I walked away from there and said, Lord. And this, I complain. Oh, American Christianity calls us to be comfortable. We say things like, he'll give us everything we need, and all that's true, and we're comfortable. But immediately, when transformation happens, he calls us into something new and something fresh. Our tendency is saying, oh, I don't know. We want to run back over there. But he's saying, please stay here. Please stay here. This is so much better than that. This is beautiful and wonderful. And listen, let me use this word. This is eternal. This is eternal. What she did for me that day was eternal. Eternal. To me, that's a picture of a transformed life. Those words, this is all I've got, but I want you to have it. This is it. It's all I got. See, she's going to have to feed her family, but she's going to give it to us. Do not be conformed to this world or this present age, but be transformed by this newness in Christ. Question is, which will you choose today? That's the question. Which will I choose? Which will I choose? Will I choose a life of comfortableness? Just say this. It's only 12:01. Let me just say this. Is this really comfortable? When we're fussing at everybody around us? When we're complaining about everything? And then we come and gather together and say, praise God, on how blessed I am. Then we leave here and nothing's ever right. That's conforming to this world. It don't take very long to be a non-Christian to realize how bad it is. But transformation means I didn't even put it this way. I almost resist that. Lord, I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable in that way. I'm not sure what being uncomfortable is yet. The Lord's really working with me on this. I'm really not sure yet. But I know one thing is when we answered the call to foster, there was times that we said, is this worth it? Under Heidi's own testimony, I go home and I find her in January's room in a corner, weeping and crying, saying, is it worth it? When I see Casey and her three children, and when I see Josh by her side, they're going to get married March the 28th. I go, whew, it's worth it. It's worth it that I cannot run to the lake when I want to. It's worth it that I can't go and do what I used to do. It's worth it when I say, well, we want to go with these friends here. Well, we can't. It's worth it. That's not pinning any roses on me. It's called rising to obedience in the Lord. I don't know how this looks for you and where God's going to take you after today, but I'm anxious to see the ones that will answer that call today. I want you to stand.
So in the week ahead and in the weeks ahead, as we seek to hear from God, as we seek to do His will, it's our prayer that you will do as we are, as we are making every effort to do, is to follow His will and to answer His call. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Have a great week.